Aloha, good afternoon from Honolulu. I'm in Hawaii teaching in the Athens Institute and seeing family and doing some other ministry. I'm very excited. This is iFaith number 112. It's our second message from Nehemiah. I've entitled it Reboot, and we'll be staying today in Nehemiah chapter 8. Just the background. It's the Persian period. The Persians are the ones who allowed the Jews to return to Israel and provided imperial funding for reconstructing the temple. That's in the 500s. Then in the 400s, we have Ezra, the teaching priest, educating people in the law, and we have Nehemiah rebuilding the crumbled walls, the destroyed walls around Jerusalem, and Nehemiah's a governor. So those are three key things: the temple, the walls, and the law. Nehemiah 8 has been possibly my favorite Old Testament chapter since 1980, when I was just finishing up my history degree. It's a wonderful chapter. Let's read. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. He's reading from it for hours, and they're not zoning out, spacing out, tuning out. They are paying attention. It's an amazing scene. And notice, he's not reading. This is not the temple courts. This is the gate. This is the place where public information was given. This is where the elders would sit, in the city gate. There are multiple gates around Jerusalem, but it's in the gate, the water gate. And it's wonderful. One of the commentators I read has some great insight into this. I'll read this in a moment. Let me continue with the Bible. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood six men, and on the left side, seven men. I'm just not giving the names. And he opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This is excellent. This is so good. In Proverbs, wisdom takes its stand and pleads urgently in Proverbs 1 and also in Proverbs 8 that we not be fools, but listen. And so I think it's appropriate that it's not in the temple, but it's actually in the gate that the word is being proclaimed. The commentator said this, the law itself insisted its voice must not be confined to the sanctuary, but heard in the house and the street. And if you doubt this, look at Deuteronomy 6 and read the first paragraph or two. And also, at the dedication of Solomon's temple, there had been glory and beauty. This is in the 10th century. Natural and supernatural to overwhelm the worshipers. Here, in Nehemiah 8, that is, the focus, apart from the wooden platform, was a scroll, or more exactly, what was written in it. Its opening brought the people to their feet. Such respect for God's word. I love it. Let's continue. The Levites, and 13 are named, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. this is great. What a revival. And you could feel the tone, the atmosphere that must have been there. Holiness and gloom do not go together. Judaism is a religion of joy. And here, people feel joy, not just awe in the presence of God's word, but joy because they're understanding it. It's being explained to them so that they can understand. And, you know, perhaps joy would have been a better title for this talk, but I called it Reboot because, you know, without getting back to God's word, there will be no valid revival. Just a little bit more. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, this is, I think, the very next day, yes, along with the priests and Levites, gathered around Ezra the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And their joy was very great. So they're obeying the Feast of Tabernacles, that legislation. Recall that three times a year, the Jews would come to Jerusalem. The men were required. The women were invited. And that was Passover and Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks. And in the autumn, the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. That's what this one is. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, and they celebrated the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. Wow. What's going on here? It's a time of teaching. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to be part of a teaching day or a church teaching evening or an all-night teaching time. Everyone's involved, men, women, children who are old enough to get it. And they learned as a group and the people respond as a group. Joy that comes from understanding. You know, we learn more when we accept a little help from others. I need other teachers in my life. I can't be my own instructor. And this is a special occasion in the national spiritual life of Israel. And the feast, the annual feast, help people remember where they've come from and that God is the one who took the initiative and forgives their sins. And in some ways, this occasion was supposed to be repeated every year, but clearly they hadn't been doing it. So what about us? How might we benefit from following their lead? When did you last spend an entire week reveling in the Word of God? Now, they did it after the teaching day of chapter 8. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, which meant that they would live in temporary shelters, which is what the people did during the 40 years in the wilderness. And this would be a time of focusing on God's Word. If you took a week out of your annual schedule to focus on God's Word, would that be a nice supplement to the normal intense schedule of Bible study you maintain? Or would that end up being almost your entire Bible study for the year? It shouldn't be, but I suspect for many it would, because we just don't spend a lot of time in the Word, but we do spend a lot of time in the world. This kind of event helps to keep us on track. And in God's wisdom, He knew that we need to come together. Yes, you can study on your own, but coming together periodically is a really great thing. And as someone said, theology is much better done as a community than as a solo kind of practice. Now, before we leave Ezra and Nehemiah, one last perspective I want to share. But I want us to be thinking about what such an intense and focused time of Bible study could do for our own lives to help us to reboot. Because sometimes we simply need a new beginning. A new beginning. No mere restoration of Jerusalem could ever be a final fulfillment of the Old Testament's prophecies. Something totally new would be required, and the new thing was the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a man, at last, who could stand in the place of all Israel, and because he was God, render perfect obedience. The inability of the chosen people of the Old Testament to meet the terms of the covenant in any definitive way, which our books so clearly illustrate, leads naturally into these statements of the New Testament, which show the need for a new way of salvation apart from the law. There is joy in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which brings us close to the heart of God and shows us some of the possibilities of real piety. But in these books, there is sadness too. But that sadness points us to Christ. I hope that Nehemiah 8 will be one of your favorite chapters as well, and that you'll go back and read the entire book. We're going to be moving on now to the book of Esther, which is also set in the Persian times, with iFaith 113, which I've entitled God Behind the Scenes. He's there, whether we realize it or not. God bless you. Have a fantastic day.